So halacha says in Shulchan Aruch is that if you sell a keli to a goy and you buy it back from him, it requires tevilat kelim because you literally did what it says in the Gemara. Maase Midyan and Lakuach. You purchased it from a goy. It used to have a shame goy, and you bought it back. So, what we said last week, when it came to the factories and whatever, of trying to find a way to make kelim that belong to a Jew, so that they never need tevila when you get it, that only works if all the middlemen, the distributor and importer and everyone else, are Jewish. But if they're not, so then they own it. A non-Jew owns it the same in middle of the way, then you literally have ruined your lack of tevila, and now you need to have tevila again. Rav Moshe Feinstein has.
What if the Jew manufactures it?
Yeah.
And along the whole process of middleman, he still owns it. It's like it goes through consignment,
right?
Through goyim.
So pashtus, then that's okay if it's just consignment. Yeah. If it's just consignment that you get, you know, sachar for selling my thing for me. So then that's okay. If it's actually a consignment agreement, you have to make sure that's true. I have to make sure that's true. I don't know the details. That's an important thing to figure out. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a kula.
Like,
if
it,
huh?
I was just asking, like...
It's 100% a very good point. It's a very good point. That if you have consignment, then it's not ownership. That's okay. It's just a deal. Yeah. Okay. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has a kula for the factories that as long as it starts kosher for a Jew, then it stays kosher for a Jew. As long as it was made by a Jew, so then selling it to another person and selling it back won't be a problem. Let's talk about now for a case. You bought a pot from a non-Jewish store, and you sold it to a goy, and then you bought it back. He would require tevilat kelim. And even if it never left your house, even if, you know, you sold this pot on eBay, or you went to the pawn shop and whatever, you said, I'm going to sell you my pot, but I want to make sure that you guys never, you know, use it because I don't want it to become non-kosher. You guys can sell a kosher pot. Just, it's going to stay in my house so that it stays safe. Limasha. Right? So the Isser V'Heter says it doesn't matter that he never took it off of your hands. If you made a kinyan, it belongs to him. It gets a shame goy and now belongs to a non-Jew. And you got it back, so now you require tevila. You and I are like, who cares? When is this going to happen? Actually, it happens every single year, on the same day every single year.
What, Pesach?
Pesach. We sell our chametz to non-Jews every single year on the same day. The thing is, in many shitarot, many of the contracts that they had for mechiyat chametz for centuries, they actually also sold the kelim that the chametz were inside of,
right,
along with the chametz. And this
why is that necessary?
So that was the question. Why is it necessary? It led to a big debate of why do you have to do this?
It's not accumulating a kazayit of chametz to even equal chametz.
Hmm?
It's just, even if it's residue, it's not chametz.
Well, let's say it's
ownership.
You have a whole basket, a metal basket filled with chametz. 100% chametz. You have a big cholent.
Right. Let's say the pot only used for pasta.
Right. Right. So
kelim that they're used to cook chametz.
No, I'm talking about kelim with chametz inside of it right now. You have a frozen pasta sitting in your freezer in a metal pan.
Okay.
A metal pan. They used this, the shitar covered the keli as well. And this led to a big machloket. Many poskim said, hey, you sold the keli to a goy. You bought it back after Pesach. Tevila. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So this led to a great debate. Many people said you need tevila, and many said that you do not. But we have to first understand something I didn't understand for a long time. Why would you think to do that in the first place? These are not stupid people. In order to know Hilchot Pesach, you have to know all of Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, because you have to know Orachaim to know all the details of the Seder. You have to know Yoredeh to know how to kasher Kalim. You have to know Choshe and Mishpat, in order to sell your chametz. So you got to know how to do this. You got to know how to write a shitar, how to do all the kinyanim we spoke about last week, about selling chametz. We spoke about six different kinyanim that we do for selling chametz. Why were these great ge'onei olam in history, these great acharonim, so concerned that they would actually sell the kelim that the chametz was in, along with the chametz. So the Ben Yishchai actually says it very clearly, that when it comes to kinyan chatzer, I can't possibly hand you all of my chametz. There's too much for you to do a hagba'ah or a mishicha to draw it. Ma'ot might not work for a goy. We talked about that. The whole room full of chametz. Yeah, all the alcohol, whatever it is. So what you do is you rent him the space. And then he's kone with chatzer. He's kone everything that's in the space, in the closet where all your chametz is. So the Ben Yishchai says there's a problem. Who owns the kelim that the chametz are in? If you want for you want that kelav shel mocher are birshut lokeach. You're selling the chametz, right? So for you to come and sell the chametz to Christopher in Christopher's property, you can't just leave your pot of pasta in his property. It doesn't work that way, because it's still your pot. And as long as it's in your pot, his chatzer is not kone the contents of your pot.
Right.
And as long as that's the case, we can't sell our chametz from my closet, my pantry. Even if I rent the guy my pantry for him to be kone the chatzer, since it's reshut lokeach and not reshut mocher, since it's his reshut and not mine, we can't possibly affect the kinyan. So therefore, the Ben Yishchai says, you also have to sell the kelim. In order for it to be kelav shel lokeach, the kelim that belongs to the lokeach, birshut lokeach as well, for the kinyan to happen. That's what the Ben Yishchai says explicitly in Parashat Tzav, in Shana Rishona, of Sefer Ben Yishchai. But, so that's the reasoning. For why do you have to sell the kelim also? Because otherwise you can't even sell the food, if you're using a kinyan chatzer. This led to such a machloket olam. You have gidolei olam on every side of the equation. And to sum it up, you have four opinions about what to do and what the halacha is. What should you sell, what shouldn't you sell, and how to approach the halacha. And this is all incredibly well summarized, I'll show you, all incredibly well summarized here in a sefer called Mishpat HaMechira. It's called Mishpat HaMechira. It's by Rav Ovadia Yosef Toledano. Ovadia Yosef Toledano is the grandson of Chacham Ovadia Yosef Zatzal. His mother is Rivka Toledano, the daughter of Ovadia Yosef, married to Rav Mordechai Toledano, who is a big-time dayan in Yerushalayim, and son-in-law of Ovadia. Rav Ovadia Yosef Toledano is a dayan in Rav Asher Weiss's Kola and Beit Din. And he is an incredible Talmid Chacham, expert in many areas of halacha, like Mamzerut and Kinyanim. He wrote specific svarim on topics in Choshen Mishpat that are really, really key and important in halacha. One of them is Mishpat HaMechira. It's all about Mechirat Chametz. One whole volume, how to sell Chametz. He has four volumes on Hilchot Kinyanim, all the different Kinyanim. It's called Mishpat HaKinyan. He has a volume on Eidut. There's lots of different topics in Choshen Mishpat, and I really enjoy them, but I don't have the knowledge yet to appreciate them fully. But as much as I have this Svarim, and it's related to what we're learning, it's so perfect that this is exactly what he talks about. How to sell chametz and how to sell the kelim with your chametz as well, and the issues that arise with that. So Rav Toledano really summarizes it as four shitot. Rav Ovadia also has a couple teshuvot about this, among other, in Yechavadat, yes, in Gimel Chafdalid, and in Yabia Omer, is Vav Yud Aleph. And this is also summarized a little bit in the Pitchei Tshuva here in our Siman as well. But basically what happens is that the Noda Biyuda, the Chatam Sofer, the Vilna Gaon, Rav Nathan Adler, the Pitchei Tshuva, the Zivchei Tzedek, they all say, you're selling your Chametz Kelim, when you get him back, you have to do Tzvilat Kelim. Those are the hardliners. Rav Ovadia also holds that way. You get him back, you need to do Tevilah. Just because there's a Machloket, you don't recite a Beracha on this one. Problem is that there are some Mekilim out there. There are some Mekilim out there. Rav Shlomo Kluger was a big Acharon as well. He was a prolific writer of Shlomo Kluger. And he writes that you can be Mekel, because at the end of the day, this whole Chametz business, selling your Chametz, is just a trick. It's just a Ha'arama.
calls it a farce?
It's a farce, but it's a legal farce. It's legal fiction,
right?
Not a farce. Right. Legal fiction. It's legal. It works. Since the whole thing is a harama, really hefker works. We are mafkir ar chametz, we are mevatel ar chametz. Kal chamir adika birshuti, de chazite de la chazite. That really covers everything. So you don't really need the mechira, just as an extra chumrah for chametz. So you could say, with respect to chametz, it works. With respect to tivat kelim, it doesn't work. You can split. Grab both ends of the rope.
Right.
To which many say, you can't do that. It's not even a harama. It's real. They say that the many argue that the sale is real. It's not a fiction. It's a real deal. The hefker and the bitul don't work for these things, they argue.
Don't we have to hold it to be a real sale?
Why do you need the real sale if you're already doing hefker, though? Is it because the hefker won't work because you're doing this?
The hefker is for what you're not aware of. The hefker is not for what you're aware of, correct?
You say, no, the chazite or the la chazite. It's for things that I know and I don't know. It works for both. There's a big machlok at how you view the need.
You know that you can't reach. It's not for the things that you know that it's accessible.
Right. So that's a big machlok at how are you supposed to view the role of the hefker. Is the role of the hefker to get rid of everything or just the things that you can't get rid of yourself? And what's the role of the mechira? Is the mechira for a necessity or is it just a chumra? We want to cover all avenues, all ways of taking care of this. We have the mechira.
It doesn't sound like Rav Avadia to be machmir in something like this.
All right, but Rav Avadia said, this is the din in Shulchan Aruch.
Halakha l'maaseh,
we don't sell our kelim with our chametz. But there in Bnei Brak, Rav Moshe Landau, in his shitar, he does. In Bnei Brak, he does. Because he thinks that this legal fiction isn't enough. Isn't enough to be required to vila again.
For some strange reason,
yeah.
I don't know why, but my wife takes sometimes the chametz, spoons and serving pieces, just so they're out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts it in the pantry where we keep our chametz that we sell.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not in the shtar, it's fine.
Oh, okay, good, okay.
You might have in mind to sell it, but the guy's not buying it.
No, I have no intention to sell it.
So then put it away. You don't want to make a mistake. Yeah.
I'm selling chametz. I'm not selling utensils.
You don't want to make a mistake. You don't want anyone to accidentally cook with chametz utensils. So that's fine.
No, I just have people in my house that I don't want them to stumble.
Yeah. So that's the idea. We don't want people to make mistakes, so we put away the kelim. But with respect to the actual need for tevila, it's a big machloket. If you actually sold it, it would have a problem. But you don't actually sell it. Fine. So another way to be mekel is to say that it's not a real sale. It never really left your house. So wait, for chametz, it is a real sale. For this, it's not a real sale. So there's a lot of people who are like, you can't split hairs. You can't hold both ends of the rope at the same time. And even Rosh Shlomo Kluger, who was Mekel, himself says, don't rely on this. It's not a good idea to rely on this. And the last big Mekel is the Aruch HaShulchan. He also says that it's just a chumrah for chametz that we do this. We don't really mean that it should work for what should we call it, for Tzvilat Kelim. But nevertheless, there is a lot to say. The Chazon Ish, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, used to go and take all of his kelim after Pesach and take him back to the mikveh himself. Because he was that makpid. That the shtar, that it was a real deal, and that's what they used to do.
No, but he would intentionally sell his utensils?
He would. So he was concerned for this Choshen Mishpat issue. Whatever
would
utensils.
He intentionally sell them?
Yeah, he would. It seemed like he intentionally would sell them, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Aruch HaShulchan has like a kula, but Rav Asher Weiss is not so convinced about it. And there was a Rabbi Libis, the Beit Avi was a rabbi in New York many years ago. He thinks that, you know what we said, you buy things the schora for business purposes and therefore it's patur, when you buy from a goy. He thinks that the goy is buying the keli from you for business also. And therefore, the goy never requires tevilat kelim when he sells it back to you. It's utterly not pshat. It's a total huge chidush and nobody accepts it. But that was his limud zechut. That was his limud zechut.
A nice twist.
Yeah, Yeah, and also some of the shtarot, they say, like, we're only selling the things that require tevilat kelim. Half the stuff we take to the mikveh doesn't require tevilat kelim. It's a chumrah half the time. So that lashon also doesn't work. Some people say you should rent the kelim. That way, when you rent the kli, and you rent the chatzer, so then all the contents of the kli also go easily. The whole problem was that you can't own the kli that the chametz is in. So rent the kli also. Don't sell him the kli. Rent him the kli. And then when you rent it, you get it back. And it doesn't require...
It never changed ownership.
Yeah, it never changed ownership. Don't require tevila. It's a discussion if that works. Okay? And others say, okay, just sell the chametz that's absorbed inside of the kelim. Well, that's also funny, because what do you mean? There's nothing... You don't have to sell the stuff that's absorbed. What's the point? Not tangible. Are you making a joke out of the Mechir HaChameis? You want this to be a legit thing, a real thing. So, Rav Eliashiv, the Brisker Rav, the Rav Nizam and Nechemiah Goldberg didn't like this, but this was what the Chazon Ish ended up doing. The Chazon Ish eventually did that. Nowadays, what usually happens is that we say we sell all of the Chametz that's stuck to the Kelim. That's what Rav Avadia, Rav Asher Weiss, and others, they all recommend doing. That's with respect to what to put in your shtar. Now, what about this Choshen Mishpat issue? The Ben Yishchai raises a very important issue. If you can't sell the kelim that are in the stuff that's in the kelim, why is everyone okay with just not doing this? Okay, so they write something else in their shtar, but why is it okay? So Chacham Avadia says the Ben Yishchai was trying to do a kinyan chatzer. Don't do a kinyan chatzer. If that's the limitation of the kinyan. Do a kinyan agav. You rent him a piece of property, and with that you're maknet to him, you sell to him all the other chametz out there. So it doesn't matter what it's in anymore. Chatzer is limited in that it has to be in the kelim of the purchaser. But agav, it can be anywhere in the world. We don't care where it is. And therefore, if you throw a kinyan agav in there as well, the Divrei Malkiel and Chacham Avadia say, then it's okay. Rav Toledano is his grandfather's grandson. He writes just like his grandfather, but it doesn't mean he thinks his grandfather is the only posik in the world. And he writes here in Mishpat HaMechira that you can still understand the people who say to do chatzer, and just say that they wanted you to rent the kelim to the goy, plus you want to get rid of the stuff that's absorbed into the kli, and that might explain what their motivations were to say chatzer instead of agav. Fine. But then he has a great idea of Toledano. The Ben Ish Chai is also not a fool. He's aware of your idea. He knows that, and yet he doesn't say you have to take it back to the mikveh. He also doesn't say exactly what we say he's saying. The Ben Ish Chai, if you read it carefully, says Rav Toledano, is saying that you take a kli to the mikveh, you should sell the kelim to the goy. The context he's talking about is a storekeeper. The storekeeper has to take his kelim to the mikveh. The storekeeper requires tevila? Storekeeper has these huge storage containers. Storage containers. Storage containers don't require tevila meikar hadin. It's only a chumra in the first place.
Right.
So of course you can sell those to a goy. You never took it to the mikveh beforehand either. You're not going to take it later either. Ben Ish Chai wasn't concerned about tevila kelim. It wasn't even on his mind because he wasn't talking about selling things that would require tevila before or after you sell them and buy them back. That's a big limud zechut for the Ben Ish Chai. There are other things you could say also. For example, apparently for Sfaradim, Maran holds this whole issue of being in the kelim of the seller doesn't apply if you tell the guy, go and acquire it. Zil kini. So maybe that's what the Ben Ish Chai had in mind. He was talking about a case like that. And therefore, or that's what Rav Avadia will argue back, that you don't have to worry about this Ben Ish Chai, because anyway, we write in the Shetar that the Goy can go and acquire it for himself. So that's nice, Rav Toledano says, but that only works for Sfaradim, not for Ashkenazim. We love all Jews. We want everyone to not have to do Tevilat Kelim again. So that's not gonna fly. And this became a little machloket between Rav Mazuz and Rav Toledano. They basically into between Hora Abera and Rav Toledano Sefer, they discuss how to be Miyashev the Ben Ishchai, and they mention each other, and it's interesting to read through. Rav Mazuz says, no, you're not just doing a Kinyan Chatzer. You're doing Chatzer plus money, plus Ma'ot. So the Ma'ot will cover it also. Between all the different Kinyanim that are happening, so Mimanav Shach, one way or the other, you sold it to the Goy. Therefore, the Ben Ishchai won't require you to do Tevilat Kelim. That, in a nutshell, is the issue of Tevila post Pesach Chametz sale, that one would require Tevilat Kelim for if he sold his Kelim for, whether or not one would require Tevilat Kelim if he sold his Kelim to the Goy with his Chametz. And that was part one of the Shiur. In a summary, because of a Choshen Mishpat issue in Hilchot Kinyanim, we want to make sure that we could actually transfer the ownership of the chametz that's within one's kelim, and therefore some say you should sell the kli as well, others say rent it, others say don't, and deal with it various other ways, choshen mishpat wise. Fine. Halakha l'maaseh, in our shitarot, as far as I know, we don't sell the kelim, and therefore we don't have this problem. Now, part two of the shiur is what happens when tevila is impossible, whether it be thanks to coronavirus, the mikveh, you're in a place where there is no mikveh, the mikveh is closed because of coronavirus, there are electronic devices, or the huge industrial kelim that don't fit in the mikveh, it's Erev Shabbat and you need to use a kli, what do you do in all these situations? Especially this year, this halacha became super relevant because thanks to the virus, many kelim mikveh were closed before Pesach, and people were stuck at home for Pesach for the first time ever, whether they be older couples that have never made Pesach at home, because they always go to a hotel, or younger couples that can't go visit their families because they're stuck thanks to quarantine and stay-at-home orders.
Right.
So, because of that, they needed to...
Rishayim.
Huh?
They're a bunch of Rishayim.
Rishayim? Maybe.
The government.
Maybe. Maybe sometimes. It all depends. All trying to stay safe. Plus political interests, but trying to stay safe. So, the issue was that they need to buy kelim for Pesach. They don't have any kelim for Pesach. So they could try kashering, but maybe they're too old, kashering is too hard, too complicated. They want to buy new, nice kelim for Pesach. So what are they supposed to do? They need to buy kelim, they have kelim that they bought, and they want to use for Pesach. How are they supposed to take these things to the mikveh, or in any situation where you need to take something to the mikveh? So there are a number of options. The best one is, go to the sea, go to the ocean, and recite a bracha. Rivers are complicated.
Yes, but family in Columbus, Ohio doesn't have that option.
Right. Family in Columbus, Ohio does not have that option. So what are they supposed to do? Usually we're very New York-centric, so we don't really think about those people. But good for you, Baruch Hashem, to be more open-minded about that. What are you supposed to do if you don't have that available to you? So Rav Asher Weiss says, and Rav Schechter also said, try your best. Use plastic, use aluminum, and rely on Rav Moshe that you can use aluminum without doing tevila. Or you can also try to kasher, if you can figure that out. Might not be possible for some people in some situations. What really comes down to, as Shulchan Aruch says, we spoke about already, that on Erev Shabbat, it's too difficult, or on Shabbat, it's too difficult to find the mikveh. You can't, or it's usher to go to the keli mikveh on Shabbat. You are makneh your keli to a goy, and you say, hey, Christopher, do me a favor, take this, it's absolute gift to you. And by the way, you don't really need it, it doesn't match any of your cups, any of your pots. Do you mind if I borrow it from you indefinitely? And you take that from him and you borrow it and you can use it now that it belongs to him. So this is, Maran seems to be fine with this 100%. The Taz is not very happy with this because he thinks that if you're borrowing for an indefinite amount of time, that's like a present. And now that the Goy gave you a present, you have to take it to the mikveh. But the Taz says, since I'm not so sure about it, that maybe this is like a present, maybe it's not, don't recite a beracha. And the Pri Chadash says, don't recite a bracha. I'm sure about this. Say a bracha. When you go to on Sunday morning when Shabbat is over, you better say a bracha, says the Pri Chadash. But those two aside, for Sfaradim for sure, common practice accepts Maran Legamre, give it to a goy and use it and don't feel bad about it. Ashkenazim are more concerned for the Taz and the Pri Chadash. And therefore they have to, like we spoke about when it by electric appliances, They have to find creative ways to permit one to use a kli without having a keli mikveh available. So what do they do? So some of the options are making kinyanim, but trying your best to cover all your bases to totally, totally give it to the guy. If you can't do kinyanim, then they say you can do hefker. Hefker means that you give it, you totally, you walk outside, find three edim, Gemara Nedarim says, and you tell them in front of everybody, these are now hefker I'm taking out of my house. They now have the opportunity to grab it if they want, and they don't, and you pick it up with kavana shelo liskot, kavana not to acquire it, you pick it up, take it home, it's still hefker, but you're going to use it indefinitely until you decide to acquire it. Once you decide to acquire it, when the mikveh is available, then you can take it to the mikveh. Rav Shechter recommended that route, and he said that even if you have three people on Zoom, then that would be sufficient as well. And, you know, we discussed kinyanim at length. Rav Asher Weiss thinks, because kinyanim have been such a machloket, you say agav, ma'ot, meshicha, chalipin, all these different kinyanim are so complicated, Rav Asher Weiss says, so why are you getting involved in choshen mishpat? Just do hefker and be done with it, Rav Asher Weiss says. It's just better than to get involved. But because there is a lot to say by the kinyanim, I just wanted to review one more time what some of the kinyanim we could do are and rely on and how to do them, especially because it's only a few kelim now. Just put it all in a box and you're done. Unlike houses and houses of kelim, now we can actually use hagba'ah. You put it in a box, give it to the goy, say this is yours as an absolute gift, and you ask him to raise it 3 tvachim. Just tell him to raise it above his head. And then he acquires it totally. If it's too heavy...
Does the goy have to see the contents of the box?
Give him the box also, yeah.
No. Does the goy have to see the contents
of the box? Oh, yeah. So when it comes to all these halachot about kinyanim to a goy, we highly recommend that one make sure that the goy fully understands. This isn't a joke. Like the security guard that I gave something to and whatever, he had no clue what was flying. That was not appropriate. The better thing, best thing is, what you're supposed to do is explain to him, I have to take these to the ritual bath. It's closed right now thanks to the virus. That's safe. Do me a favor. If I give it to you, it's yours as a gift. But then if you decide to give it to me as a loan, to lend me use it indefinitely, then I can use it without having to take it to the ritual bath. Would you be interested in taking this as an absolute gift? He says yes. You give it to him, picks it up, and he says, and then he's supposed to tell you, and then you say, like, you don't look like you need that. Do you mind if I borrow it from you indefinitely? And he's going to look at you weird, but okay. I'm pretty, like, I would be embarrassed to do this with my neighbors because I don't have a relationship with them. But if one has a relationship with a non-Jew, then he should feel comfortable, hopefully, doing this type of thing if he has such a relationship. I'm sure the kargar, the kolfat, the security guard in the shul, whoever, Noah would be happy to do this, you know, anytime.
I have an espresso that I haven't used yet. I've owned for like 8 months.
Right.
And I'm worried that whichever goy I do this with, they don't want to keep it.
Oh, so that's the problem. When it comes to large kelim, Rebelsky says, the factory paid $50,000, $100,000 for this massive oven. You're not going to give it to a guy. Are you crazy? He's going to sell it. It's the absolute gift to this stuff. 100 grand. You crazy? So what they do is they sell him a share. Rav Asher Weiss and Ravelsky say, sell him a share for a dollar. He gives you a dollar, he gets a share. Now that it's a shutafut, you don't have to ever break the shutafut. And that actually deals with a lot of the issues that we said. Giving it to him might be a matana, and getting it from him as a loan might be a matana. So if you make him a shutaf, that's even better. Everybody holds that's okay. Even Ashkenazim are okay with that. That would also work. So what you could do is, instead of giving a goy your Nespresso machine, you can just ask him if he wants to buy a share in your Nespresso machine.
I just give him $2 as a gift.
Yeah.
And then I say, buy a share with this for $1 and yeah, keep the dollar.
Right.
It's like, that's cool, Jim.
Right, so that's what I did with the security guard. I just didn't explain enough to him. I told him, here's $20. It's yours. Now, I have a lot of stuff that belongs to me, but I can't use it because I can't take it to the ritual bath. It's electric. It might break. You mind buying it off of me for $20? So, the thing is, that's only a kinyan ma'ot. that's only a kinyan of money, so that's more difficult. He has to do other kinyanim as well to cover other bases. But from the ma'ot perspective, and you don't lose the risk of him walking away with it on you, because you only gave him a shutafut, and then you can do the other kinyanim as well. You can do a kinyan odita. Odita means that you, in front of two people, you state, and you maybe you even write a shitar, declaring that Plony Christopher owns this Razzo machine. And that's it. He owns it. It's a machlok in Lamdis, it's Chakira. Is it a kinyan or is it a hoda? But that's not for now. According to the Ksod HaChoshen, it works even for Isurim, like Chametz and Tivida Kalim. It works when you say use a shtar, and it works for Goyim. And that's what we recommend doing as well, Odita, in these situations. Rav Asher Weiss and others all recommend that. And if you can't pick it up, they say do a Meshicha. And you do the Kinyan HaSochrim, you shake hands, you do the Dina de Malchuta, whatever the verbal agreement that works for in whatever country it is. And then many say you should do an Agav as well. You should rent him a piece of land somewhere, and then... And then have him be kone all the kalim here at the same time. And these are all various kinyanim you can do. In order to obviate the issue here. That works for the huge kalim as well. And if you haven't bought it yet, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach thinks that you could also have kavana. When you're going to the store to buy it, have kavana to not acquire it. And once you had kavanah to acquire it, I heard Rav Ulig, I think, say this also during the virus issue earlier this year, that if you have kavanah to acquire it, so then you also don't have to take it to the mikveh until you can, and then you have kavanah to acquire it, and then you take it to the mikveh. But the thing is that if there's nothing else you can do, we said that the mitzvah min haTorah is that it should go to the mikveh. Mitzvah midrabanan is that you shouldn't eat from it without taking it to the mikveh. And then we said from the Yeshua Yaakov that if in a situation where you cannot possibly fulfill the mitzvah midrabanan, so then you don't have to do it. You go to a restaurant and you take it and you hope that they should have. So you can still eat there. You go to someone's house and they shouldn't have. We'll talk about it in a second. Maybe you can still eat there. Because at the end of the day, it's not your mitzvah. You can't take this out to the mikveh right now. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, in this case also, since you can't possibly take it to the mikveh, you don't have to until it's possible. And therefore, you can use the keli bidi eved. No other options. You can use the kli without tevila, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. And the RCA and the Rabbanut HaRashit, basically, they set up this whole kinyanim business before Pesach, that you could sell all of your kelim that need to go to the mikveh before Pesach. You sell them all to a goy. And the Rabbanut said that whenever the kelim mikveh opens up in your community, have kavana to acquire it again and then take it to the mikveh. Whereas the RCA, they send out an email once every couple months, once a month now, and they say, listen, we understand that the virus is still going strong, but if in your area you can take it to the mikveh, so then there's an opportunity for you to buy back your kelim now. And just respond if you want to, otherwise just disregard this, as you can still continue relying on the sale for now. And finally, that's with respect to coronavirus. What happens when you go to a private home? Not everybody knows the halachot of tevilat kelim. Not everyone appreciates them. Restaurants, we discussed at length. But what about a private home? When you go to someone's home and you're not sure, or you know that they didn't take their kelim to the mikveh, what are you supposed to do? So that's a great topic. It probably should have been the first and only topic we talked about, because everyone would have come for that one. But I think that there was so much buildup in the learning that we did that we can really understand this topic very well now. So the Yeshuot Yaakov told us that the mitzvah of using it is only midrabanan to encourage you to take it to the mikveh. Rav Avadya, Rav Shlomo Zalman, they all hold of this as well. Even if you hold that it's deoraita, the mitzvah of tevilat kelim, the usage is only midrabanan. And in halacha l'maaseh, if food was cooked, whatever, in kelim that never went to the mikveh, the food is not asur yet, l'maaseh. There is a peleoetz that says it's a lack of kedusha, there's tuma in the food, but we don't really hold of that. He also just wants to raise awareness of the mitzvah. Unfortunately, people don't know enough. So what do? You go somewhere, and they clearly cook the food in kelim that we're not taking to the mikveh. What are you supposed to do? So the best thing is to use plastic plates, plastic utensils, China. But what if that's not available? What if that's not available? So Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't buy into this issue at Yaakov. He says you go to a hotel or a restaurant. He says that, a huge chidush, if the food is something that doesn't need the serving dish that it's on, it's a salad that you can pick up with your hands, so then using a fork, using a plate, is not considered usage. But if it's a liquid like a soup, then it is considered usage, Rav Moshe says. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, this huge chidush that you can't ladle soup out of a soup tureen. Now, what didn't go to the mikveh, because that's called usage. Rav Moshe holds that. Not everyone holds that way. And then he holds that you also, even if it was in a bowl already for you, you can't eat out of the bowl. But you can, if it's on a serving platter, you can take off the chicken, put it on your plate. That's plastic, and eat off of that. And fine. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with most of that. He says there's no isur to empty from another kli. So if somebody gives you food in a kli that didn't go to the mikveh, you're allowed to take the food out of the kli. You're not even chayav to do it all in one shot. But further, putting food in there would be a problem. As we saw, Rav Ovadia is not willing so much to let you use the Yeshuot Yaakov to get away with eating in someone else's house. But Rav Nevinzal is. And he says, the Chazon Ish said that way as well. Guests can eat at somebody's home even if the person did not take the kelim to the mikveh. And that was the Chazon Ish's position as well, he said, as well as his father's. Rav Nevinzal's father was a big gaon as well. Apparently it's a machloket, but the Chazon Ish said, okay, fine. Really, a person has to try his best. We have to try our best to encourage people to take their kelim to the mikveh, but if they cannot, so then we can sell it to a goy for them. If we know in advance that this is going to happen, we can try to sell their stuff to a goy. And then later, buy back and do it bracha tefillah with a bracha, or just do it tefillah without a bracha later on. And Chacham Ben Sion though is quoted as well, holding like the Chazon Ish and Rav Nevinzal, saying you shouldn't really rely on it, but b'diavad, if there's nothing else you can do, and you thought and you couldn't think ahead and figure out what to do, so then you can be mekel. But first of all, you should try for plastic. Second of all, you have to see, is it going to embarrass people? Is it going to cause Ava? Religious people, do not eat in my home. Everything is kosher. But I do not go to the mikveh. I do not take my stuff to the mikveh. So if it's going to cause hatred amongst the Jews, and you have a greater purpose, relationship-wise and whatever, so then you can also be mekel, Chacham Etzion says. Especially if it's a safek. Safek de Rabbanan l'kula. Then you can also rely on Yeshua Yaakov, but you should really think ahead. Do whatever you can to get around it. Great, Baruch Hashem. So that was our shiur for tonight. Three issues we talked about, really, is the Pesach issue, how to sell, whether or not to sell the kelim with the chametz or not. Then we got to the meat of Toledano. Next week we're going to talk about disposables in our capstone shiur, Bezat Hashem, about disposables, aluminum kelim. We'll return to Toledano. We spoke about what to do when the kelim mikveh is closed, and then we spoke about what to do when you go somewhere where they didn't take their kelim to the mikveh. Last time we spoke about how to sell your how to purchase kelim, purchase materials from a goy so that it's your kelim. Tonight we spoke about how to sell your kelim to the goy to make sure that it's not yours. And Baruch Hashem, these are important, amazing topics, and through them we learned a lot of chosh and mishpat. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Rabbi Eliassi, for coming.
Baruch Thank Hashem. You, my honor for
being it's here. A big beracha, big zechut.
Thank you for teaching.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Rabbi, quick question.
Always, please.
I heard a really weird scenario.
Yeah.
A Jew that's observant wanted to buy a used barbecue from a Jew that is not observant.
Right.
However, he's a full-out vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So the barbecue never had any tray for meat or chicken or all soy and vegetables on the barbecue.
Right.
Fully. And there's no suspect. The guy is full out anti-meat.
Right.
He obviously never took it to the mikveh, but now there's residue of oils and whatever. The water will never touch the surface of the metal of the grates or the barbecue itself. What's that Jew supposed to do that wants to buy the barbecue from the guy?
You can't just go about buying new grates and take those to the mikveh?
Yeah, but the sidewall of the barbecue, you would have to do that also, no?
Why does the sidewall have to go to the mikveh? It doesn't touch the food.
Of course it does.
The side.
So you push the food, and sometimes it touches the sides.
Ah.
Let's say you're taking a piece of
Interesting.
steak or chicken, you're flipping it, hits the side.
Interesting.
Happens all the time.
Yeah,
Every single
okay.
barbecue, you might hit the side.
Yeah, okay. Fine. So then I don't know. What do you do about that? Do people take their barbecues to the mikveh in the first place? I would assume it's too big.
I mean,
Talking about a big barbecue.
I'm down with the Kenyan.
And what big barbecue, small barbecue, it probably depends on those huge standing barbecues.
I'm okay with the Kenyan.
I understand. I think it's bigger than the mikveh itself, no?
No. Oh, I'm not huge. I'm talking about like a 25-inch barbecue.
25-inch barbecue. Oh.
Yeah, 30-inch barbecue, something like that.
Interesting. So then, okay, so you always can sell it. But we don't want to rely on that necessarily. For sure, just buy new grates and just sell the base. That would be the better thing.
We're not worried about the kashrut at this point. My real question is
Yeah.
that whether you can consider that barbecue owned by a Jew. Now you're buying something that's owned by a Jew.
Oh, that's your question. But he bought it from a goy, though. He never took it to the
He bought
mikveh.
it from a boy, yeah.
So then he has to go to the mikveh, we assume. His religiosity does not ruin the need for tefillah, does not ruin the need for tefillah keli. Meaning, if he made it and he wasn't religious, halacha lemaaseh, it doesn't need tefillah. But he didn't make it, so he bought it. We assume it does require tefillah, and he just never took it. Okay, so for the grates, just buy new grates.
I'm talking about the third party, the buyer, the one that's buying it from the
Yeah,
Jew.
so he should buy new grates because those can go to the mikveh easily. Why should you rely on the kula for the grates? But for the sides, for the base of the barbecue, okay, fine. So then you can sell that to a goy. Also, it could be that touching the sides of the barbecue, does that help it cook more? Probably does. The barbecue's hot, right?
No, it's just easier to be reckless.
So then it might not require tefillah in the first place. Right? Right. The barbecue is a stationary thing, maybe?
It's just a wall, so
Just the
it doesn't
wall.
fall off.
So I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's a good question. I was thinking about this also myself. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's the kashrut problem is taken care of, though. I'm not sure, because if a person.
What, need to go on?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Because the halacha is that if a person doesn't keep halacha, then he's not ne'eman on halacha. So, if he doesn't keep kashrut, then you can't really trust his kashrut. You go to someone's house where you know that they eat all over the place. I have relatives like this. They
Yeah, me too.
don't know anything. Oh, we have separate dishes in our home. But they don't know anything.
Why is sushi
Yeah, whatever. They have all these questions. They have no knowledge. The father will tell me, I read all of the books, Jesus, Buddha, Moses. I know them all. Nothing like Moses. Okay. Baruch Hashem, he has a haracha for Torah, mitzvah, for Eretz Yisrael. Wonderful, but they have no ne'emanut whatsoever. Even if they say it's kosher, we only buy kosher, we only have separate dishes, they really have no ne'emanut because they don't know anything. But even if they do know something, it's called chashud. Kol ha-chashud al davar is not ne'eman on davar. So a suspect for not observing the din properly, he's not ne'eman even if he does keep the mitzvot. The only exception is that Moshe Feinstein has a landmark teshuvah about a guy living under the communists. Old man living under the communists, and he wants to move in with his daughter. His daughter is a total atheist, but she'll have a kosher kitchen for him, for a kosher pot, kosher pan to bake him food. Is he allowed to believe his daughter? So if Moshe says, the person has no ne'emanut, but you're allowed to believe him, if you truly believe it to happen, that she's keeping kosher for you, as long as you know that if you catch her breaking the rules for you, that she would be embarrassed. And she knows that you wouldn't believe her ever again. When you lend her that, grant her that ne'emanut, and she realizes that you're granting it to her, so then she won't mess you up. A person becomes religious, his parents aren't religious, they eat wherever, but for him they'll have a kosher home, and that's okay, because he trusts them, if he trusts them. If he doesn't trust them, then nothing. So here, I don't know this guy, I don't know the relationship with the seller, I don't with the buyer, I don't know. What the metziut is in the seller's home. He's a vegetarian. Other people might not be vegetarian. Where did he get it from? Maybe there was a party once and they brought
They're
something.
cousins.
Our
These are all
cousins.
cousins.
Okay, so then maybe there's some ne'emanut there for Rav Moshe. Obviously, vegetables won't be osir anything, even if there are bugs in them, because bugs are no ten tam lifgam. They don't add any substantial positive taste, flavor. I wonder if there were any non-kosher, like, sauces that he put on his vegetables, or the like, or oils
maybe,
that
maybe.
he put on his vegetables. Those could all be problems. I'm not a bucky enough in these in the culinary matters. You are.
I'm not about it. That's all I'm not about it.
Okay. But if you want to ask specifically Tevilat Kelim, without getting involved in the other issue, so then my guess would be the barbecue base could just be sold to a guy, and then the grates, you should definitely just buy new ones. Why not?
Right.
That's a very good question you brought up. Very good question. I had a whole question with my air fryer about what to do with it. I started writing it up. I thought I got the psak on my own. And I sent it to the CRC and the OU, and they both corrected me. And Rav Schechter corrected me. So it was on numerous points. So I'm not taking it. I thought various parts don't need tevilah because they're coated ceramic, but apparently I was so wrong. they're metal coated in ceramic, nonstick. It's really a whole shear on its own, but basically the whole thing needs tevilah except for the rubber. Cupcake tin and the paper, parchment paper, the whole thing. And
by bringing it to Great Neck, we'll take it apart safely, and that way you can tovel what you have to tovel, and we'll put it back together.
Oh no, I already did what I could do, and then the rest is just the electric base. I already took it. There are lots of inserts that you can put inside, so I took care of that. That's not a problem. Really, I could do a show and tell. I'd bring in my air fryer, show everybody how to do tevilah, have what needs tevilah, what doesn't. But I think we've exhausted the Tevilat Kelim shiur for this round. It's time to start a new topic. Anyways, maybe we'll do one more. Maybe we'll go, because I need to start a new topic.